3000, or you can direct connect to their website under our business sponsors. Just go to WTRJTheTruth.com.
Trusted voices with solid teaching and talk. This is The Truth, 91.7 FM.
Let's Face the Issues is a daily broadcast ministry of First Conservative Baptist Church with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Dr. Youngblood is also the founder, president of Conservative Theological University. Let's Face the Issues broadcast deals with real issues facing our culture today from a biblical perspective. God created three institutions, the home, government, and the church. Therefore, any issue that is harmful or has a negative impact on either of these institutions will be carefully dealt with and confronted from a biblical worldview. Too often, good people are afraid to confront serious issues that are attacking the church, the home, and Christians. We must stand against the enemies of the family and the church. Tune in each day for another broadcast of Let's Face the Issues with Dr. Jean A. Youngblood. Here is Dr. Youngblood with Let's Face the Issues.
Thank you, thank you, thank you, ladies and gentlemen. It's always our delight to have you jump on board. Join in the dialogue and discussion as we have each and every day as we face the issues. And lest I forget it, and oftentimes I do, let me remind you that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. I want to talk about several things today, but also all of the things that issues, points that I make today have one fundamental nexus. We're talking about a question. What is the motive behind what we're seeing as we watch it take place today in our whole ways of higher education with the anti-Semitism, the anti-Americanism, and the mindset that you cannot stop me, we can do what we want? What's the mindset? What's the motive behind the gender care, as it is called, with the butchering of healthy baby body parts? What's the mindset? What's the motive when we look at what is taking place with the LGBTQ sodomite agenda? What's the motive behind some of the blue cities and the blue states across America with refusing to allow ICE agents to come in and arrest the illegal invaders that's in the cities? What's the motive behind much of what we see today taking place? What is the motive? May I simply give you a little advance heads up? The Bible says, "For the love of money is the root of all evil." And I believe we can find a nexus in all of these issues, and that nexus happens to be the love of money. Why is it that several hundred billion dollars was discovered just in the USAID program alone as the Doge investigators plunged into the source? What was the motive behind the Socialist Marxist Communist Democratic Party wanting to continue that program, M-O-N-E-Y, the love of money? What's the motive behind much that we see today in relationship to mayors like Karen Bass, mayors that we find in Chicago, New York? What is the motive behind such a high percentage of voters wanting the Islamic jihadist communist as a mayor in the city of New York? Why did that individual get 52.6% of the vote out of 11 candidates in the primary in New York City? We're going to answer those questions today, and I believe the simple, simplistic, rudimentary, fundamental answer would be the love of money. We find that across every line, social, economic, political, religious, we find that to be one of the fundamental problems that we face today as a nation. Ladies and gentlemen, as we face the issues, let me remind you, we do so based on the authority of the written, revealed, inspired, infallible, inerrant Word of God. It's the truth book. I call it the truth book because it's the B-I-B-L-E. When you look at what Jesus says to his disciples in John 8:31 and 32, If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth. The truth shall make you free. Then in John 14:6, Jesus says, I am truth. Further in John 17:17, a declaratory statement is made about the word of God. Thy word is truth, the scripture declares. Psalms 117:2, the Bible says, the truth of the Lord endures forever. Yet, ladies and gentlemen, we find today that there's a mindset very much like Orwell, the secularist of yesteryear, said would take place. He said the further a society drifts from the truth, the more it will hate those who speak it. And we find that to be factually where we are as a nation, as a people, even today. Ladies and gentlemen, truth matters whether you embrace it or not. Truth matters whether you would like to recognize it or not. I'm looking at a headline that's staggering. It pretty much is the buttress for what I've said for many, many, many years now about truth. This article reads to the headline. I'll touch on it as part of my monologue. Western society will be destroyed without a commitment to truth. This article reads, American institutions are suffering from a collapse in public support. Among the institutions worst affected are government, the press, and education. Further in the article, it reads, a significant number of our country's most serious problems have their roots in higher education, and there's no more serious problem than the notion, that it is fashionable in academia for decades now, that truth is relative, or that it is a matter of individual perception or a cultural mores, or even that there is no such thing as absolute truth. As the former U.S. Senator Jim DeMint, headline reads about DeMint, where he says, America's decline is linked to the death of truth. He goes into the statement by making this phrase, this word. He says, this is the core principle of the Judeo-Christian values. Truth is, which are the fundamental foundation of American civilization. Judeo-Christian values are derived from the Bible, and the Christian church is the only custodian of the Bible. If you want to know the reason for the death of truth in America, look no further than the decline of Bible-based Christianity. And yet, ladies and gentlemen, according to a recent study, a recent survey, the headline reads, most younger Americans say there's no absolute truth. It goes back very much like the headline I just read, Western society will be destroyed without a commitment to truth. This article reads, 55% of the millennials say each person determines their own version of truth. Ladies and gentlemen, there's not but one version of truth. You can't bifurcate truth and still have truth. I've said for many, many years now, a half-truth is a whole lie, and yet we find people that are trying to do that in our society. I'll go back to the 15th century theologian and church reformer, Jan Hus. Jan Hus says, faithful Christians seek the truth, listen to the truth, learn the truth, love the truth, tell the truth, live the truth, and defend the truth even to death. That's my challenge, that we'll go back to truth, the fundamentals of truth. And by the way, you won't find that on the Communist Network News. You won't find truth on CBS, NBC, ABC. In fact, let me just digress for a moment. With all that's being discovered about the Russiagate lie, all that's been discovered and brought forth now by Pam Bondi and the DOJ and the CIA and the DNI departments, each of those areas, that have come up with a whole list of factual documented evidence of the deception that took place and the accusation 10 years ago that President Trump, then candidate Trump, was a puppet of Putin. And you would think that when you got the documents, the evidence, the proof, that you would have at least some modicum of recognition of that and admission to that by the puppet news, the Marxist media. But none of them are recognizing that. They're saying, as one commentator put it on, I believe it was CNN, the Communist Network News, made the statement of what is being said by those in the DOJ and the DNI, what is it, Tulsi Gabbard, said they're making these statements, and listen, not one shred of evidence. That's a lie. And yet you have multitudes today that are taking the truth, bending the truth, and saying that it is truth when it's a partial truth, half truth, or no truth at all. We need to get back to the fundamentals of truth. And as John Huss says, seek it, listen to it, learn it, love it, live it, tell it, defend it, even to death. Ladies and gentlemen, this portion of the day's broadcast is sponsored by Tools for a Time. Tools for a Time is an outdoor power equipment dealership company specializing in the turnkey business packages for individuals looking to own your own landscape or lawn care business. Tools for a Time carries the full line of equipment for the homeowner with brands like Honda and Echo. Tools for a Time carries the full line of hurricane preparedness equipment with the full line of Honda generators. And ladies and gentlemen, Tools for a Time has a knowledgeable staff that can answer all of your questions about power backup equipment. The knowledgeable staff at Tools for a Time can answer your questions about the professional as well as the homeowner brand landscape and lawn care equipment. Tools for a Time is located at 11291, that's 11291 Old St. Augustine Road. Perhaps you say, how do I find that? It's right at the intersection of I-295 Beltway and Old St. Augustine Road. On the campus of Tools for a Time, there's a 165-foot flagpole. Atop that flagpole flows the U.S. flag, Oh Glory, 24/7. Find that flag in the flagpole. The base of the flagpole, you'll find the home of Tools for a Time. ToolsForATime.com. ToolsForATime.com. Ladies and gentlemen, at last, hear me, at last, and it may not be the last, but at last, we're finding truth about the so-called Russiagate. And the issues of Obama and Biden and Hillary Clinton and their collusion, their conspiracy, and their acts of treason. And I call it acts of treason because Tulsi Gabbard, Gabbard said that it was a collusion and treason. And it was a conspiracy, treasonous conspiracy that had taken place. And ladies and gentlemen, I believe that's what happened. I believe that we see the fallout of that and the 10 years of persecution, prosecution, and lawfare against President Donald J. Trump. Even before he became president, they decided, they, Barack Hussein Obama, Joe Biden, Merrick Garland, all of those in the, I call them the three-letter organizations, thugs with their badges, made a determination that they were going to undermine, tear down, and destroy Trump. Hillary Clinton and the DNC bought and paid for, along with Mark Elias, the law firm that helped her through all of the process of doing this. Much of the funds went through the Elias law firm, and it was distributed to the parties, and it was a bought and paid for dossier called the Steele dossier that was used to persecute and prosecute Donald J. Trump. Everyone in Trump's orbit for years was eavesdropped on. Their phone lines were, as President Trump called it, phone lines were tapped. They were eavesdropped on. Lies on the forms, what they call the 302 forms, which is an application to the FISA court to allow them to eavesdrop on people that they believe had some nefarious operation going on with foreign organizations. So that was the claim they made in order to get the phones tapped and to destroy the lives of multitudes of people that was in the Trump orbit. Ladies and gentlemen, the bottom line is, and I'll get to the point as we make these issues known and elaborate on them during the course of this broadcast today. All of this is taking place because of a simple factor of the love of money. And you might add to that power and the love of money. That was the simplistics of it, ladies and gentlemen. But perhaps we'll get to the bottom line. Perhaps now there's a possibility of getting to the bottom line of what is happening. But listen, what I do not want to see take place, what I pray will not happen, is that the House and the Senate will decide we need special counsel, special investigator, and turn this whole process over to some special investigatory board to get it off the plates and the table of the House and the Senate. They want their thumbprints off of it. Special counsel does not need to be appointed to research and to advise on this. Give it to the DOJ. give it to the CIA, give it to those prosecutorial agencies that Pam Bondi and others are over that have the authority to investigate and to prosecute. If you turn it over to a special counsel, if you turn it over to some, structured group that's supposed to be trying to determine, what about Clinton? What about Obama? What about Comey? What about Clapper? What about Merrick Garland? Will they ever have justice? If it's turned over to a special counsel, ladies and gentlemen, it's going to 2 to 3 years of silence, and they'll say, we can't talk about it because it's being investigated, and you'll find there will never, ever, ever be real justice if that happens. I'm looking at a headline, the left losing their minds over this. CIA Director John Ratcliffe expects Russiagate indictments and reveals what hasn't come out yet. I'll just read two paragraphs. There's no doubt in my mind that they conspired against President Trump. They conspired against the American people. CIA Director John Ratcliffe is expecting criminal indictments against top names in Barack Obama's administration for allegedly conspiring against President Donald Trump and the American people with the Russiagate collusion and hoax. And he said more information is about to be declassified. It goes on further. Ratcliffe said of the potential indictments, that's why I've made the referrals to the Justice Department that I have. DNI Tulsi Gabbard has made referrals also. We are going to continue to share the intelligence that would support the ability of the Department of Justice to bring fair and just claims against those who have perpetuated this hoax against the American people and the stain that has stained our country. There's no doubt in my mind, Ratcliffe said, they conspired against Trump, they conspired against the American people, and I'll leave it to Pam Bondi and our Department of Justice, Cash Patel, and our FBI to investigate the conspiracy to do what and what charges they're capable of bringing. Ratcliffe explained there's still more disclosures about the conspiracy that will be forthcoming. And I could go on with the major article on that subject, ladies and gentlemen. But the point is this. We're looking at all of these things. In fact, I said the other day, reading the news, investigating the news, analyzing news articles, and coming up with what's really happening is like drinking water out of a fire hose. There's so much coming simultaneously. But I can go back to the fact, and we're going to do that in this broadcast today. By the way, the telephone lines are open. You can dial 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. What do you think is the cause of the gender care movement? What's the cause of the transgenderism? What's the major rationale behind the push for abortion? What's the major rationale behind the blue cities, the blue states, and the blue counties that's preventing the prosecutorial efforts of the ICE agents to go in and find the illegal invaders that have come in? What is the rudimentary, fundamental, elemental, common denominator in all of these cases? May I say to you, it is M-O-N-E-Y, the love of money. Ladies and gentlemen, when you look at Psalms 33 and verse 12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his inheritance. Then you look at Proverbs 14:34, ladies and gentlemen, and the Bible is very, very clear. And I make this point early in the broadcast. Righteousness exalted the nation, but sin is a reproach to any people. And ladies and gentlemen, when you look at what is taking place in America today and understand what is happening and what may be the cause and effect, we need to go back and look at the scripture. In Proverbs 29:2, the Bible says, when the righteous are in authority, the people rejoice, but when the wicked beareth rule, the people mourn. Ladies and gentlemen, although we have today, God has divinely intervened and has given us President Donald J. Trump to lead our nation, to drain the swamp, to clean the sewer. We still have mega, if I can be a little redundant, issues that are taking place that we need to recognize the cause and effect. We need to understand that just because President Trump is in charge, it doesn't mean that all of a sudden Christian persecution has gone away. It has, in fact, in some areas, increased. We can't say, ladies and gentlemen, that somehow, some way, because God has intervened, that all sin and injustice has ceased and desist. I'm looking at a headline. Well, it's actually a news release from Jay Sekulow of the ACLJ. It says, this is outrageous. The war on Christians is accelerating and fast. In Chicago, for example, a preacher was handcuffed and arrested simply for preaching the gospel. We rushed to the courts to get the charges dropped with the video evidence. But shockingly, the very next day, police arrested two more preachers in the exact same spot. Yes, this is happening. In major American cities, pastors are being dragged off the streets and sharing the name of Jesus Christ. It's a chilling assault on our faith. We defended all three in criminal court, and we went another necessary step, filing a huge civil rights lawsuit against the city of Chicago. Quote, today, we're in court going on the offensive on behalf of these three preachers. Sharing their Christian faith is not a crime, and Chicago is weaponizing the government against Christians. The criminalization of faith is all around us. We are representing others also. Our client teacher was banned for praying where students might see her. Another client was denied access to the Homeowners Association because it was a Bible study. We've had many clients fired or demoted because of their faith. So, ladies and gentlemen, we can't sit back and relax and say that everything is okay in Dodge, as the old cliche goes. We're witnessing and watching further declining of what we call the moral ethical values in our nation. And part and parcel, ladies and gentlemen, is because, as I've said for many, many years on this broadcast, that it's because so many pastors have failed or refused to stand and speak the truth from my pulpit. Stand for what is truth is what we need to understand. So, ladies and gentlemen, our nation continues to face some very critical, uncertain times, in which we find many events taking place to validate those uncertain times. In 2 Timothy chapter 3, the Bible says, perilous times shall come. That word perilous means dark, dangerous, devastating, difficult, destructive. And we see that taking place today. Perilous times. Those perilous times include things like cities and states, what I call blue cities and blue states, that are openly challenging and rebuffing the law, not allowing ICE agents, law enforcement, to come in and do their jobs. Why are they doing that? Let me just read you an article. By the way, that telephone number is 904-831-0917, 904-831-0917. I would have never believed that we would find cities, we would find states, governors, mayors, city aldermen, city councilmen, that would take the position that we're going to house, clothe, feed, and educate illegal invaders at the expense of citizens in America and at the detriment of them. I would have never believed just a few years ago that we would find a political system, even democratically controlled, as we call blue cities, blue states. But I'm looking at a massive article, and I'll just touch on two or three brief paragraphs. ICE, I-C-E, equal KKK. Political violence surging under Trump isn't exactly the far right after all. Rising violence, extremism linked to the leftist and pro-Palestinian suspects in the U.S. flies in the face of legacy media narrative that Donald Trump's return to office would embolden the right-wing extremist. Law enforcement has grappled with a wave of alleged or confirmed arsons, shootings, threats against government officials, mass rioting stemming from outrage at Trump's policies and U.S. support for Israel. In the months following Trump's re-election, media outlets and so-called experts quoted in their articles predicted that America might see a resurgence of mostly right-wing or white supremacist violence on Trump's watch. Further, the article says, no matter how many attacks were organized by the jihadist terrorists or committed anarchist or communist extremist was a problem to be found only on the political right, and specifically was the fault of their main political opponent's rhetoric. Whether Donald Trump won or lost, either result was taken as evidence for an increase in the far-right extremism. However, that didn't happen. Even a decrease in hate groups could be identified as evidence of their growing power. Heads, we win. Tails, you lose, this writer says. Ladies and gentlemen, the bottom line is, in the massive, massive article, it is talking about the fact that in the blue cities and the blue states, we find ICE agents being accused of being equal to the Ku Klux Klan. We find political leadership in our U.S. House on the left, the Socialist, Marxist, Communist, Democratic Party. Mayors and governors in our blue cities, the democratically controlled cities and states, where they are in the streets confronting ICE law enforcement agents carrying out their jobs, challenging them that you wear a mask, you put people in unmarked vehicles, and swish them off to unknown locations. Ladies and gentlemen, they're doing the job. Keep in mind, under the Barack Hussein Obama and the European Biden administration, somewhere between 20 and 25 million illegal invaders were allowed to come into America. Multitudes of them are rapists, robbers, murderers, etc., etc. And I find it antithetical to anything that's called Americanism to have a illegal jihadist come in and have a rap sheet as long as your arm. Each time there's a case against him or her, it comes before the courts. They're adjudicated as being guilty, released with no bond, released on the streets to commit some crime over and over again. Just recently, an illegal invader, driving under the influence, totally drunk on the street, hit a vehicle, killing a couple, 19-year-old couple, a young man and his girlfriend. Lives snuffed out as a result of that. And when you go back and look at the individual's record, I believe it was 6, 8, 10, or 11 times where he had been caught for some illegal activity and released. I told my wife just this morning as we were talking about issues like that, I find it antithetical to Americanism to find that an American can commit the same crimes and be caught, tried, convicted, and put in jail and the key thrown away, and you have the illegal invaders coming in, and they are not. So the question is, why? What is the motive behind the mayors and the governors in these blue cities for doing that? It's called M-O-N-E-Y. We find our so-called judicial radical federal circuit courts and judges still attempting, ladies and gentlemen, to continue to somehow control the executive branch in our government, that is the president's office. And as a result of that, ladies and gentlemen, they're deciding whatever the law may be, whatever the president might say, whatever the case law might say, whatever the Constitution might say, we're going to rule against that and undermine and destroy anything and everything that may be legal and constitutional in our United States of America. Ladies and gentlemen, may I say to you, we need to ask the question, why? What is the bottom line? What is the motive of these on the left, the Socialist, Communist, Marxist, Democratic Party? Why are they doing what they are doing? We need to look at it and understand, ladies and gentlemen, as we look at what is taking place, our elite colleges and universities are in shambles, in chaos today. You might say, why? They're allowing the funding coming in from all kinds of illegal organizations, funding's coming in from around the globe to propel the idea that Israel is a nation that needs to be destroyed. Israel ought not to exist, and the quote, fictionary, imaginary state of Palestine must exist. From the river to the sea, Palestine must be free. That's the motive. That's the mindset. Why are they saying that? Why are they allowing that? Because of M-O-N-E-Y. Listen, just with the Harvard University, our tax money has been giving them about $400 million a year, more or less. Columbia University, $200 million a year of federal tax money. And because President Trump said, you're either going to get your act straight, you're going to do what is right, or we're going to cut off the funds. Now, as a result of that, suit after suit after suit against President Donald J. Trump and his administration trying to force the return of those cut-off dollars. And it's because they're doing what they're doing because of money. It's the love of money, the Bible says in 1 Timothy chapter 6, verse 10, that's the root of all evil. And we're finding that played out in the mindset of these colleges and universities with the dollars that's been given. And now that those dollars are in jeopardy, they're trying to say, we are have a right to that money, therefore we're going to take it back. Ladies and gentlemen, we can continue our discussion today on it is all for the love of money. Hang in there. Don't turn your dials. We'll be right back right after the news.
With Dr. Gene A. Youngblood from First Conservative Baptist Church and Conservative Theological University in Jacksonville, Florida. To learn more, visit conservative.edu.